Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight. Well, it's good to have you with us anytime you're with us. And we're glad that you found us. We're here on purpose to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. And so that's what we're doing, bringing you the gospel of Jesus Christ so that you can know exactly how to live in these last days. I haven't seen the news on this end of today. But everybody, I'm sure, has found out by now, and if you haven't, Russia bombed Poland, and of course, one of the liberal news media watching say that that's what happened, and that's exactly what happened. Because the precision-guided missile is not where did it go? It had the location that is programmed into it, so everybody knows that this was intentional. And so, from that point of view tonight, we're going to talk about, what we do now. And, some of you that's a part of my program actually live in Poland. And some of you live in Bulgaria and Romania and all of these nations that are now very concerned, all of Europe concerned about nuclear war. And thank God that you have an answer in the Word of God.
Amen.
We have an answer. And so we're going to find that answer in the book of Luke tonight. Luke chapter 17 and Luke chapter 18. And, we may end up in a whole bunch of them right here, but I want us to read the Word of God. And, of course, anybody that is study Bible prophecy, is going to know exactly that we're like knocking on the door of the rapture. Mm-hmm. And so, take this program that we have tonight and share it with everybody that you know. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, go down there and hit that little swoosh arrow on your screen. And share it with everybody that you know in your nation. Those of you that have been foreign nations of the world, let me say it different. I don't like that word foreign. Those of you that are in different nations of the world than the United States of America, I want to help you get what I teach into your native language, and you can help me do it. So, it's something that's been in your heart that you have been, then get in contact with me. My email address is right down there in the description, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. So if you're on YouTube, click the share button. And then copy the link, send it to all your messenger family and friends. Send this to everyone, because this is a very, very important lesson tonight in the end times. Now, if you would, can you please send me the link in my text for YouTube?
Yes.
I'm asking that. Now I'm thinking, how do you do that? But
got it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Because I just found a couple people that I'd like to send this to myself. Just to encourage them in God. Tonight we're not gonna have a lot of this our common conversation we have about what you have for supper and all that kind of stuff. Although there's nothing wrong with that at all. Because we're real people with real lives, and we really truly want to help as many people as we can find God, and we want to be real people, you know?
Amen.
How many of you are real people? I am a real people. I'm going to say this, I am a real people.
I am a real people.
You really am.
I am. So am you.
And I'm glad I married a real people, not like a Martian or something.
Yeah. Me too.
It'd be kind of rough if you married a Martian. I don't know. That'd be like, I married a Martian. All right. And most people are like, what are you guys even talking about?
Mary and Martians, you know, common conversation. Hello, Sunday on YouTube, and welcome, Phyllis, too, on Zoom. Love you guys. Go ahead.
I'm trying to...
And we love you, too, Roger.
Anyway, so I just want to encourage all of you, really seriously, find a way to share this. Look, can you put that in my text instead of Messenger?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is not letting me share that.
Really? Whoops.
Roger and Sunday, love you guys. Thanks for being over there helping us on YouTube. Goodness sakes alive, what's going on here? I'm usually a lot more proficient at this.
Oh, it's a new truck in a different day, and things are just different than normal.
Yeah. Now, for those of you that may be wondering, you know,
what
my comment is, why you don't fit share, I don't have any idea why it doesn't fit share. Because I'm pretty good at what I do here because we've done it for so long. Oh my goodness, thanks for that. And I'm actually just kind of sitting here staring at this like, you know what to do. Now get out of the way and let me do it. So I just want to encourage you, but while I'm finding this, I just want to encourage you very seriously. There it goes. Get this and share it with some folks that you know. Because there's a lot of people that are, there's a lot of people that are like totally freaked at what we're doing. And all they know is that there was a wild, crazy preacher somewhere in their life that said, Jesus is coming if you don't throw your heart to God and all of that kind of stuff. And you got all this ridiculous stuff. And, let's take all the fear out of it. Take all the confusion out of it. Let's take all of the wonder out of it. And just go straight to the Word of God and see what God says.
Amen.
Encourage very much from the Word of God and very much an answer, very much taken of Thera, very much taken sadness or sorrow off, very much the questions that people have, they're like, oh no, where do you have? Why would God why would God give us his word and not give us the answers or exactly how to find out those answers in his word? That's not like him. So he is going to give us the answers that we need, and he is going to make it very plain, and he's going to give us great courage to find it, give us great leaders that find the truth. And you know what? All of a sudden, of what it is that God is doing in our lives. Now, and through the form, as it happened the last time, right when I get ready to start speaking, and I get loaded. So, here's what we're going to have to do. God's given us assignment to get accomplished. And so, can you still hear me, Dan? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do confession and run down through, like we do through the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then by then, I should be in a place where I can be speaking and ministering. What I want us to do is read Luke chapter 17. Well, everybody, hear how this is going to go. We're going to talk, it's going to be Jesus is warning us of offense in the last day. Jesus is going to be talking to us about faith. Right in the middle of talking about offense and faith, he's going to heal 10 lepers. He's going to talk about the kingdom of God coming. And then, the parable of the persistent widow. So, our focus is not just to read Luke chapter 17, and say, there, aren't we proud of us? We read it. No, we're reading Luke chapter 17 for the purpose of seeing exactly how it fits in today. So not everybody listen to me. Say this where you are out loud in your home. If you don't necessarily have to say out loud for all of us in here, but you say this with me. Jesus, I open up my heart and mind to receive this revelation tonight. So I see and know who you are.
So I see and know who you are.
In Jesus' mighty name. So here's our plan. Because I gotta change what I got going on right here in front of me right now. We're gonna do the confession down through the Patriot Prayer Dedication. Mighty wanted speaker the word against the Republicanism. And then we'll go from there.
Okay. Okay, we'll start out with our Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody will rise and show your honor. Let's do the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now our pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life, liberty to all who believe. And then our community of faith opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the Word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Oh, I was going to move us on and I could not find my mouse. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love, which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. Luke 6:38. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in the same measure. I sow my time, talent, and treasure into the kingdom today. 10:28-30. Peter said to Jesus, "See, we have left all and followed you." Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, everyone who leaves house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, you shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and income and salary, with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. I receive the 100-fold of all my life and faith for the kingdom that is laid up in harvest form in heaven. I put it to work on earth to preach the gospel and save lives around the world." We fulfill the Great Commission today. And Jesus speaks to us saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age." Amen. And these are the nations that have connected with the program. We'll pray over them. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless the believers in these nations, the United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tunisia, Oman, New Zealand, Australia. We bless Bill and Susie in Australia. Malaysia, we bless Julian and Vomala in Malaysia. Singapore, we bless our Mary Fernandez in Singapore. Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, the Samoan Islands, we bless our Elaine Tefili in the Samoan Islands. Thailand, India, Pakistan, we bless Tanvir and Nassim and their family in Pakistan. Iran, Iraq, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, the Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, the Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, China, New Guinea, and all the nations of the world. The commanded blessing of unity, as we pray for all of these around the world, the believers with us, behold how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life forevermore. As Jesus instructs, we agree together for the victory. Matthew 18:18-20. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All believers are one and the same in God our Father, Ephesians 4:4-7. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. The fivefold ministry in the body. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God, so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose their wicked plotting. 15, but speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. And we thank you, God, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And our patriot prayer of dedication, Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Empowering by the declaring the word of God. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Hi, Phyllis. It's good to see your face. All right, so let's go ahead and read Luke 7. The title tonight was, What Do We Do Now? And the answer to that question is, we occupy until he returns. God told us that in his word, and that's what we'll do. And it says in the last days, everyone will be selling and trading and buying and going on with life as normal until Jesus returns for us. But we as Christians are to dominate and be the ones in control and here's Pastor back. Be the ones in control until he returns to get us. And so that's what we're doing now. Welcome back. And there he went. I did not know that, Roger. Roger says, did you know when there's religious services in the military, the white and blue cross is on the flag? Well, that's good to know. And we didn't know that. Okay, so let's go ahead and read Luke 17. Jesus warns of offenses. And boy, we have every opportunity to be offended right now, for sure. Did anyone hear President Trump's speech and his acceptance today by any chance? Pastor actually played it on Zoom this morning for our program. Powerful, powerful speech. Really good. Excited to have him back in the running.
All right, did I make it back?
You are back.
It all done. It just all shut up. It's like,
you did see it Sunday. It was amazing, wasn't it? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. That is all right. There we go. Now, did we get the impression made?
We did.
All right, and we started reading yet?
Nope, I was just getting ready to start and you popped in.
Okay. Well, let's start reading then.
All right. So we are in, like I said, Luke 17. Jesus warns of offenses.
I guess.
Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Oh, sorry. Here we go. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him.
Now let's pause there. You've got to realize, I hope this goes to many people, that, if you're like, what's this? Is the preacher's out working? Yeah, this preacher's got to be out working yet. So get involved. Become a partner with us and get your faith working with us. This preacher would just soon have this business running all by itself. Not have to be worried about this out here, but it's okay. What we do. So I want to stay very focused. This is Jesus talking about the end times. And one of the number one things he says is, your people are going to be offended at people. You've got to be very, very, very understanding of this fact and realize this is one of the signs of the end times. It's people being offended at people. You know, it's like right now, the whole thing in Russia, back in the day, all right, hold on a second, I've got the brother getting ready to walk up here and say something to me. Hey, brother, how are you doing again? I got 141,000. Yeah. 879, sir. All right, thank you. No. All right, thank you, man. God bless you. All right, am I back?
You are. You didn't ever leave. You didn't ever leave. Are you to a place where you could have your camera on, though, or no? Okay. All right.
Because it's turned their time. Well, now let's just get at this fact, okay? And the fact is this. The truth. It's not a fact. It's the truth. In the last days, people are going to be offended beyond anything you can imagine. And they're going to be offended over the most ignorant, confusing, stupid, immature things. And you and I are going to look at some of them like, are you serious? You're really offended at me? For that? And they're going to be so used to holding on to that offense that they're not going to be able to let go of it. And it'll be very destructive to them. And Jesus literally said some of them will be cursed to death. I don't want that in any of your lives. But one of the things you got to learn is when people are being offended at you, of course, trying to be around them and force them into something. Don't do that. You're going to make them more angry at you.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. Tell them you love them. Get the opportunity, say, you know, if I offended you, I'm certainly going to mean to offend you. You know, if you get an opportunity, make sure you do that. But then leave them alone. Because there's nothing you can say to an offended person to cause them to get over the offense until they start dealing with the fact inside of their heart that they want to be offended. They're going to be offended at you no matter what you say.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And you and I can wish for something different, hope for something different, want something different. But an offended person is going to be an offended person no matter what. Until they decide, they no longer are going to carry that offense. There's nothing you can do except put distance between you and them. And I know when it's your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister, you don't like any of that. But Jesus said, if they come to you seven times in a day and say, please forgive me, but they're doing the same thing, you're going to look at them and say, you know, how do I keep trying to do the same thing to me? You did this wrong, and you know it's wrong. And I love you, but you got to stop. And then you got to put some distance in there. People do you wrong. The only thing that you should ever take from it is, well, they just showed me how close they actually want to be to me. And
yeah.
I love you. I forgive you. But I'm not going to live in a fence. And if you are, then you're going to have to live in a fence by yourself. Because I'm not living there. There's too many good things happening in this world to be offended at everybody.
Amen.
I
was just going to say, and you know, that is one of those spirits that the more attention you give it, the more amplified it becomes too. So yeah, putting that distance there is best with dealing with that.
Because in the day that we live, people have been taught and told and trained that you did this, so I have every right to be offended.
Yes.
Well, okay, that's, you're going to stand before the judge one of these days, and he's going to look at you and say, I told you not to be offended. And then it's not going to matter whether or not you feel like you had the right to be offended. Because Jesus is going to tell you, no, you don't have the right to be offended. You have the right to tell that person to go away and leave you home. And if they don't, then you go away. It's really a simple process.
Yeah.
Remember, his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Amen.
All right. Pick up where you left off. Well, let's keep going because I'll preach for an hour on that alone.
Faith in
me. And listen. If you got a question about what we're saying right now, I've been there on YouTube and asked it. The greatest sponsoring that. Show up, you know what it says. we want to help you have understanding. Because Jesus said, if you don't have understanding, how in the world are you going to make sense of what this was said? And if you don't understand it, then the word that is designed to set you free will never be able to set you free. And God wants you to be set free.
Amen.
Amen. Remember what we're saying. What do we do now? Those of you in Poland, we need to deal with this. Those of you in Poland, and you just got bombed,
yeah.
You have every right in God,
yeah,
to stand in your tithing record and say, you rebuke this devourer, God Almighty, because I am a tither. The simplest person tithing 5 cents from their chickens can stop a world dictator. Because God's the one that rebukes that devourer. And how does he do it? By you worshiping the Lord with your tithe. And you make sure you do it. Make sure you're always faithfully worshiping the Lord with your tithe. Not just sending a check. Worshiping him with your tithe. And we declare no weapon formed against you will prosper.
Amen.
We declare this wicked machine is stopped. Now, keep rolling because I'm just going to get off on that. And I want to get all these verses read. Go ahead.
Welcome, Brother Dan. Faith and duty, verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you.
And he's talking about unforgiveness there.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about your brother offending you. They're like, oh my Jesus, increase our faith. And he's like, in order for your faith to increase, you got to open your mouth and say something. What are you going to say? I forgive you. Yes, you are forgiven. That's faith. And then forgive them. And don't let your heart meditate. Keep moving.
Verse 7, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. But will you not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Verse 11, the 10 lepers cleansed. Now it happened.
I really want to deal with that unprofitable servant, but.
Well, go ahead.
No, we got to keep moving.
All right. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were they not... Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.
So right in the middle of Jesus talking about being offended, and the disciples saying,
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, increase their faith. We got to see how Jesus' ministry was because it's how he wants us to be. Think about this. Right in the middle of it, you're saying lepers. Remember, the lepers, they couldn't be around the regular people because leprosy is so contagious.
Mm-hmm.
So they were standing afar off, yelling, "Hey, Jesus, and I want you to know this, Father. If it's just me, your wills, and you can just possibly squeeze out a few healings from heaven to us poor little people down here." That's not what Jesus said. And that's not the prayers he's going to answer. He's a beggar. We're not beggars. Jesus says, my father say, what did he say? Go show yourself to the priest. That's a Jesus prayer. Go show yourself to the priest. And off they went. Why? Because they had learned that Jesus' words were that powerful that whatever he said, go do it. And as they left, the one man looked down and said, "Oh, I'm healed. I'm going back and I'm going to bow down before Jesus and say, thank you for my healing." And you know what, guys? The difference between that man and the other nine is that man was made completely whole. He was made completely whole. Why? Because he turned around and came back and worshiped Jesus for what he did. How absolutely amazing. And when those lepers met together again the next time, he was made whole. But they were just healed. I want you to read that about the lepers again while I get out and go in here to the building, and I'll be right back home.
All right. And I wonder even if they actually maintained their healing after not giving thanks. I don't remember if it says that further on in the story or not, but I don't think so. But in here is another thing talking about offense. Right there, Jesus had 9 opportunities to be offended, and he didn't. He kind of left it up to, it's your faith, you know, you'll receive according to your own faith and your actions, and let it go at that. It wasn't like he, you know, stomped and complained or went running after the other 9. He just let them go about their way. And the one that returned, he said, your faith will make you whole, or has made you whole. So, and anyways, here we go. Verse 20, the coming of the kingdom. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And then you will... And they will say to you, I'm trying really hard just to read what's here. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day of but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even
now, let's pause right here now for this, because our whole focus tonight is, what do we do now? Russia's totally decimated Ukraine. I mean, when you think about the fact that they hit the Ukraine with 100 cruise missiles this morning, yesterday, whatever, all of a sudden you realize people are bent on destroying this nation. And now Poland, which is, I haven't seen the result of what has happened with NATO. When you look at this statement, Jesus is saying, as it was in the days of Noah, that's what it's going to be like right now. The world is going to be just going busy, steadily just going. Commerce isn't going to stop. The stock market's still going to go. And in that, there's going to be a bunch of people that are lulled asleep. And they're going to be like, well, look at everything. It's happening. So those people over there, you know, they got bombed, whatever. You know, somebody's going to bomb somebody. It's no big deal. No, it's a really big deal because it's a wicked person. And they're doing wicked schemes. And here's the reality. Russia and Putin, they don't realize it, but they're playing right into God's hand.
Yeah.
For God to totally wipe them out for all of their crimes against humanity that they've done all through the ages. And all of a sudden, it's going to happen. And when it does, the rapture's going to have to take place. God's not going to pour his wrath out on his children. His wrath is reserved for his enemies. Keep going with the days of Lot and Noah. I'll be right back.
Verse 30. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Wow, that just dawned on me. Is he referring to the body of Christ there? And we will mount up on wings like eagles. Does that tie together? I don't know. We'll have to study that more later. Anyways, okay, the parable of the persistent widow. I think that's where he said he wanted us to go to. That's chapter 18, or on verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Avenge me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith in the earth? Let him find faith in us.
Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus just said, listen to the unjust judge. So read it again, what the unjust judge said.
And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continued coming she weary me. Lest by her
now,
continued
see,
coming.
But that word continual coming is shameless, persistent asking. And Jesus said, pay attention to what the unjust judge just said. Because of her shameless, persistent asking for justice, to answer. And then, what does the next part say? How much more? Read it.
Hear what the unjust judge said, and he, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?
And you and I continually say, yeah, he's going to find faith, if he's going to find it in me.
Amen.
Amen. But another principle that Jesus is teaching us here is ask and keep on asking. Right up to the last day, we're not going to know what day Jesus is coming. We're not going to know. No man knows the day or the hour. But until that very last day, ask, but he's not coming back for another month. Ask him for an assignment. Pray like he's not coming back for 100 years, and you and I can reach the whole world in 100 years. What ends up happening to people that believe in the rapture of the church is they begin to be escapists. Well, they're fired. Jesus, just come and take me out of all this mess. We can't be an escapist for millions of people that don't know Jesus yet.
Yeah.
And when you look at this whole chapter, Luke chapter 17, you begin to realize, even though it's broken up into several different parts, message that says, hey, people are going to be offended at you everywhere you go. Just expect it. Learn how to deal with them. Walk in love. You have the servant. His name is faith. Use it. Open your mouth and say something. Oh, and by the way, those 10 lepers, heal them right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, be God made whole. Now, remember, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so it's going to be where I come. There's going to be people like Noah, preacher of righteousness, preaching loud and strong every day, saying the end is coming, the end is coming, the end is coming. People are going to be running to and fro across the earth, seeking knowledge and understanding. That's right found in the book of Daniel. And you and I, in the middle of it all, got to realize Jesus just told us and asked, keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Keep the work I assigned you to do. And yet do it with great expectancy that God Almighty is returning for us.
Amen.
And it's coming. It's coming. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen,
amen. And Brother Dan has his hand up.
Go ahead, Dan. Thank you, brother.
Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit here.
All right.
It's something I've never seen clear. When it talks about being motivated to do that, want to be there, want to be taken, and it says the eagles will be there. So, by the fact that one will be the body will still be here, will be the guides and the spirit, or
the United States. Yeah. Just read, will he find faith on the earth? Now is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We're in chapter 18
before,
at this point.
Before we get to the Pharisee and the tax collector, you know, it's interesting when you reach up and you hit the engine brake right next to the sign that says no engine brakes.
Did you say whoops and keep going?
What do you do? You got to get this slow down because they don't want my truck in their driveway because I couldn't hold on to it. Anyways. Now, I could tell that there's some people in life here today, sometime in the future, they're like, you know, but Pastor, I just want you to be like some preachers and give us seven things that we got to do, and that's the answer to everything. Except that's not the answer to everything. The seven things you've got to do between now and when Jesus comes that are guaranteed answers from now till then to get you standing before Jesus like you're supposed to. Ready? I'm going to give them to you. Number one, study and show yourself approved unto God every day. Number two, it's real simple. It's like on the other. On Tuesday, study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, that can rightly understand the word of truth. And number three is for Wednesdays. Study, show yourself approved unto God. And likewise, thank God for the revelation that we just received. But tomorrow morning, we better get a new revelation. Because tomorrow morning, the whole world may be in a war. It's okay if it's silent. We've got to see it. I've got a son that's up the age that might have to be drafted. I don't want that. It is of a must that you and I are praying and we're calling out the name of God and we're rebuking the oppressor. You might be like, well, Pastor, how do I rebuke the oppressor in my little town, in my little house, in my little front room? Because your words are not little, they're with great power.
Yes, amen.
And that's the parable of the persistent woman that we just read said, never stop making the declaration to heaven. Never stop it. Never stop it. Speak it and speak it and speak it. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Every tomahawk, every cruise missile, they blow it at the end of the barrel so that they start being freaked because of what they just did from their own device that sent it out.
Amen.
We have every right to pray those prayers and to stop these oppressors in their tracks. So Biden won't stand up to him because he's the biggest piece of chicken that there ever was. We better pray that our generals stand up.
Yeah.
Because we don't want the war in our street.
Amen.
And that means if you don't want that, you better open your mouth and begin to say words of faith every day. And see all of a sudden what happens, because I can tell, I feel like Jesus here. Why do you reason among yourself? I can tell. I can tell you're saying, David, Pastor, who am I? You are a child of God.
Amen.
You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're a minister of reconciliation. You're an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You're more than a conqueror. You are a mouth sit around and be a crotchety old person, not only and nobody wants to be around you, your place is to stand in faith, speak bold, faith, confidently, courageously, boldly. Go to war for your children and your grandchildren. Stay up half the night so that while they're sleeping, you're awake, and call on heaven to give them dreams and visions in their sleep, technicolor visions that'll help them know exactly who they are in God Almighty. That's your place.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. You have a voice in God. God, and he's made us kings and priests unto our God. He did it. Not because you got a Bible degree. Because Jesus said, if they'll receive my blood and my righteousness, purifying their life, I'll give them all of the power of God that they can handle.
Hallelujah.
We are his mouthpiece on this earth. Everywhere you go, you've got to be speaking life. And if it's the world going to hell, it's the thing that goes to hell. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you don't want to stop speaking life.
Amen.
And life more abundantly everywhere we go. Sister Leanne and I taught you and taught you and taught you and taught you during the pandemic to speak life absolutely everywhere you go. Just speak life. And speak life. And speak life. When you drive through your city, speak life. Every neighborhood you drive through, speak life. Every time I pull onto this parking lot here at the truck stop, I speak life to every one of these men that sit in these trucks working hard to bring America what it needs to function. All of a sudden you realize, wait, I have a responsibility in my city to bring life to my city. When your voice isn't speaking life in your city, your city is missing a portion of the life that God wants to bring to that city.
Yeah.
It's missing it. And you're like, well, yeah, but we got preachers in our town that's preaching. Well, it's not about the preachers preaching. You have a voice that must be speaking. Because the preachers like me, five-fold ministry desk people, we don't have anything. If we don't have your voice that's speaking with us, we have our voice. We're speaking boldly. But it takes every one of us speaking boldly. You know, there's a lot of people that when they reach their senior citizens years, they're like, well, I'd like to just sit around and make trouble for everybody else. But you better not do that. You might miss heaven. You're supposed to be filled with the grace of God and the gift of God, filled with his love and his mercy. Younger men and women, you're supposed to be filled with great courage, bringing life and hope, and conquering new territories in God. So anyway, boy, I had to go on to preach on that, didn't I? Well, it's just such an amazing revelation of who God is and the fact that he's on the inside of every one of us, not just preachers. You might say about yourself, well, who am I? I'm just a, and it doesn't matter what you put behind this. I'm just a truck driver. I'm in the truck driving world. I'm just a plumber. What do I have? You have two lips. A heart full of faith. Speak the word of God out loud where you are, what you're doing, and ask God to give you a vision that will reach out and touch other people. Did I get an amen or a hallelujah? You see, the end is coming. It is upon us. had not thought about for a while, the verses in Daniel that talks about the bear, which is Russia, coming out of the north and devouring, coming out of the north with three ribs in its mouth. Well, the first one would be Ukraine. The next one would probably be Poland. And then, yeah, everybody's up in the air on what the third one will be. But that's exactly what they're doing right now. You can read it right out of Bible history.
Yeah.
Right out of the Bible prophecy.
Yeah.
That when you and I got to realize that Jesus is saying, you're going to see all this happening. Don't stop speaking life. Don't stop speaking hope. Don't stop speaking faith. Warn everybody, but don't make it that you don't turn and you're going to burn. Don't you want to be like me? Turn or burn. Don't you want to be like me? No, I really don't want to be like me. You're kind of weird, and I want to be weird. How about we get this message? And that is, Jesus loves you. And our Father wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to lead you from the inside out.
Amen.
So that right down to the very end, you and I are taking thousands of people with us into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because we gave hope. We gave hope. God's not looking to beat you down. God's looking to stand you up.
Amen.
God's not looking to destroy you. He's looking to make you.
Yes.
You and I have the greatest privilege there is on the face of the earth. And that is to climax the ages with the greatest reaping of the souls of men and women that has ever been seen. That's what you and I have the ability to do. We should be the church. We got to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. They told the story this morning of those, I don't know, 12,000 young ladies in Iran who said
yeah.
They're not going to wear the hijab anymore. And they rounded them all up as protesters. And they're going to execute them all for rebelling. Pray for them. That could be brutal torture.
Angels of the
yeah.
Lord surround them and protect them.
Yeah.
Strike
yeah.
terror in the hearts of those doing this
yeah.
wickedness.
Everybody's standing there just falling up on their face before God and repent of their sins.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, Brother Dan, can you look up those verses on the bear with the ribs in its mouth? Like, it's in Daniel, I believe. Thank you. All right, so where are we at? Luke 17. Are we done with 17?
Yes, we're in 18.
And what was the first part of 18?
The persistent widow.
All right, and so now the next is
The Pharisee and the tax collector.
All right, here we go. There you go. Yeah, this is good.
Verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's those holier than those.
Yeah.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
So, when you get to the end times, we're going to see it. The self-righteous, those who never come to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the self-righteous are going to become extremely self-righteous.
Yeah.
And they're going to be haughty and arrogant and proud. But the humble, those who are, what's the word I'm looking at? Who are more than conquerors, they're going to be bold. They're going to be confident in the fact that no weapon formed against them can prosper. They're going to be so aware of the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Jesus, and so aware of God's grace in their life, that they're going to be like that tax collector that's going to say, God, thank you that you've been merciful to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a sinner, but your grace has come and helped me.
Yeah.
Your grace has come and helped me. Thank you. And we'll be like, we'll stand so strong in Jesus' righteousness that it won't matter what condemnation or point of failure that we've had in the past, it won't have any effect on us. Just for the record, it's no fun being a holier than thou. I've been there before in my life. If you're there, look yourself in the mirror, grab yourself by your own ear like your big sister would, and get your stuff together and quit acting that way.
Yeah.
Don't ever look down at another human being another day of your life. Never. Who are you? You don't have any standing in yourself. Look at a single one of us that has any of this in our own ability.
Amen.
If it's not for Jesus' blood and his righteousness, ain't a one of us going to stand. Gave me this burden so that I could bear it for him. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Paul said, it is by grace that it might be through faith, not in the act of your own righteousness. Because man will boast about that. And when you start boasting about your actions, making you righteous, then it's all you. They will have at it. They want to see what you get done.
Yeah.
And you won't.
And you won't.
Because it'd be in your own strength. What an amazing lesson Jesus is teaching us about the end times. People are going to be offended. You got a servant, his thing, his faith, get him working. You got to speak to the mountain if you want to gain more strength. You got to speak to a mountain that's not moving, because that's how you build your faith. Oh, by the way, heal the 10 lepers. Be like that persistent widow that's like, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. I've been saying it for 20 years of my life. I've been making this statement. You foul devil, the reason I'm not farther in God than where I am is because you've opposed me and disturbed my peace all my life. And therefore, I charge you guilty in the courtrooms of heaven as a thief. And when the thief is found stealing, he must repay seven times.
Yeah.
And according to Isaiah 60 and 61, there will be pays double for any shame that our enemies cause because he opposed the work of God from going forward in our life. Never stop asking God for double for the shame. The greatest example of that that you and I can live in every day is the fact that Israel in one night received 400 years of back wages in one night. You might say, well, Pastor, there wasn't any 400 years old. I know. God said, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to give you reparations from the generations gone by. And they reap what was stolen from their ancestors for 400 years.
Yeah.
In one night.
Hallelujah.
Why? So we can be rich back past? No, so we can preach the gospel to the end of the world and take this message that we're preaching to everybody.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Believe you me, Sister Leanne and I have been asking God for 3 employees and we really need 10.
Mm-hmm.
To take what we've already got made and put it into white-sized pieces that'll disciple people and cause them to become strong in the things of God. Join us in calling on heaven every day. My next question is, what time is it?
It is 8:45, but Dan has put in those verses that you asked for.
Let's read.
Daniel 7:5 is the main verse, and suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh.
Let's back up a few verses.
Yeah, you know.
And let's get a context on this. See, guys, the rapture is coming. It's really going to happen. The day that Russia comes after Israel, it's all done. That's why I love the ministry of our Amir Safadi. He goes up down to his house and says, those hells right over there across the sea of Galilee. That's where Russia is coming down right there. And I'm like, wow.
And that's so cool to be able to actually see it, visualize it. All right, here we go. The vision of the 4 beasts. This is Daniel 7. And I'm just going to start at verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the 4 winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And 4 great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched it. Its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words.
Wow.
And that will be the Antichrist.
Yeah. The vision of the Ancient of Days, verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was, the sea of people. The court was seated and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their own dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall be destroyed, shall not be destroyed. Shall not pass away in his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Okay, Daniel's visions interpreted. This is verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and about the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Hallelujah.
And then we add with that the verse that Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence,
and
the violence take it by force.
Yeah.
You're not being violent against heaven. The Amplified says it the best. As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is bought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. So you and I, what he's saying is, you and I gotta get very about really going after everything in the kingdom that starts.
Amen.
And which is what tonight is all about. What do we do now? Go. Go. Get their kingdom. Get everything you can get in his kingdom. Help us preach the gospel to the very last moment on this earth.
Yeah.
The Lord, he it is that gives thee power to create wealth, to establish his covenant on this earth.
Amen. It's Sunday, yes, we're in Daniel chapter 7. And right now we were reading verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah.
All right. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other. Oh, I did read that part, didn't I already? Oh, that's all right. Which shall be different from all the other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's read it again. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. This is the story about Jesus. I began another study this week from that message that Brother Dutch gave us. About the chamberlain, that's going to be a really interesting study.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name...
That's what we just read. That's what we just read in Daniel. That the governments are going to be on Jesus' shoulder. And there it is again in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Now, that statement is what it was said about being a chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
How the keys of the kingdom sewn right into the robe that the chamberlain wore. And the chamberlain is a steward over the house of a king. And he's in charge of the many times the king's treasury. In the Old Testament, he was a eunuch in charge of the king's harem. He was always in charge, even one of the most around. You got to go around. I don't need you. Hold on. Goodness sakes alive. Alright, so when you study this word chamberlain, what you begin to realize is it's the same word as the word good steward about it. And this is a statement about you and I. Now, what time is it?
9 o'clock.
All right. We'll make this our last statement, and then we'll receive communion.
All right.
And it does, I want everybody in the sound of my voice to receive communion with me tonight. You might be watching this in the daytime during the 7 years of tribulation because you missed the rapture. Get you some grape juice and bread and receive communion. Jesus is still going to launch you into heaven.
Amen.
But you're going to have to die a martyr. But dying a martyr is better than going to hell. And if you make it all the way to the midpoint of the tribulation, there'll be a rapture and God will come and get you. But don't miss the next one. Because there won't be any other opportunity for you. Now, Sister Leanne read the verses last night out of Matthew that says, where Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And what does that mean? That means if we're good stewards, we get those keys that unlock everything in the kingdom.
Yeah.
But as you just said, if we're good stewards, if you're not a good steward, you don't get the keys. There's a lot of people saying, I have the keys, but they're not good stewards of their lives. And being a good steward of your life isn't being a perfect specimen of the most holy actions you could ever imagine you were doing. It's about, I am chasing God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and everything that's in me, I am chasing God with everything that's in me. And I'm going to stand in his blood and righteousness, make any excuse for sin in any way, and watch the grace of God work in my life. See, all of a sudden, we're out of your religious action. That only comes to God. Acting holy, waving a hanky, or whatever. That ain't going to do no good. You got to have the goods on the inside which causes you to be a good people, a good person. And it gets us great courage and strength. Is there any questions or statements over on YouTube I need to know about?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, Sunday and Roger, for your work over there. And all of our friends that are coming, join us on YouTube, and we don't ever get to see comments or something from you. Thank you for being there. We sure love every one of you, and we pray for you. I pray for every one of you every day that God gives you dreams and visions and revelations in the night season that causes you to become something you never even knew was available for you to become because of who he is on the inside of you. Now, what does a good steward do every day? And I know you've heard this from me 1,000 times, but God being my help, I'll say it 10,000 more before Jesus comes. Study. Show yourself approved to God. You don't have to worry about me. I'm just a man like you. Study. Show yourself approved to God. Now, God brought you here, so naturally he wants you to be a part of what we're doing. And as a fivefold ministry leader and a fivefold ministry gift, if God wants you to call me watch him begin to move mightily in your life, because when you receive a man or a woman as your pastor, keeping the gift of God that's in their life for your life, you're receiving it as a gift. Well, now that you've received it as a gift from God, you get the benefit of a gift. I like a gift. Anybody else besides me like gifts?
I like gifts.
I like an abundance of gifts.
Amen.
And that's what the fivefold ministry is in your life. But if all we are is just another preacher, well, yeah, but that's how he sees it, and whatever. You're not going to get the benefit. You're not going to get the benefit. God gives every preacher a different assignment, and he's got to be faithful to the assignment that came from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then whichever one of those preachers God hooks you up with, that's where you're supposed to be. That's the ministry you're supposed to be helping come to pass. Let me hear, I didn't drive by my road for once.
Well, hallelujah.
Thank God there's an oil well like so close by so I can just turn around in there. So, what a night this has been tonight. You can see, all of the end times in this one chapter. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
You see all of the end times in this one chapter. And learn exactly how you got to function. You might say, Pastor, I still got this problem in my life. I know. God knows. Jesus knows. The Holy Spirit knows. And we're going to continually all help you stand up in that. I guarantee you, see, that's the wrong word. On the authority of God's holy word, I am telling you right now, the truth of God's word declares to you and to me that when you stand on the word of God, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You live in, every day, Jesus' blood and his righteousness. It is not your work of your hand or your efforts that makes you righteous.
Amen.
There's no ability within our human flesh to produce righteousness.
Right.
What we produce is self-righteousness. And that's a stench in God's nostrils. And that's not going to be you or me.
Amen.
We're going to be the righteous because Jesus was righteous.
Yes.
I can tell somebody's getting it right now tonight. You mean Jesus just gave me his righteousness?
Yep.
He gave it to you. It's a gift.
Thank you.
We've preached it often. If you'll text me or email me, I'll send you those five messages on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it'll bless your life, and you'll get that foundation truth that you need about the righteousness of God. Who cares if you put your hair up or let your hair down? It has nothing to do with being righteous.
Amen.
Oh, I observed the Sabbath on Saturday. Well, all right. God spoke to the writer. Hebrews, let no one judge you on a new moon or a Sabbath, but that was shadow. Why get hung up in the shadow when the sun is here, when the light is here? That's right out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember, it's Jesus' righteousness. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, I think that's how it does it, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand deep. It's Jesus' righteousness that gives you and I the ability to make it all come together. Glory be to God. Well, here we are. Let's pray a prayer. And then I'm going to have to get out the truck. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Here I am tonight.
Here I am tonight.
Worship you.
To worship you, amen.
Here I am to bow down.
Here I am to bow down.
And say, you are my king.
And say, you are my king.
We love you. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you, Jesus. We thank you that we know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. All right. I'm going to be out of the truck for about 10 minutes. So, introduce the communion elements. Tell everybody how to get to them. And, read the verses, and I should be back in here in time to receive communion with you.
All right.
How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Now, for all of you who might be doing this, it's going to be like, what is going on with these guys? The grace of God. The grace of God is working in a way that you and I have never seen before, and we give you glory for it. All right, God, you
All right. First, anybody out there that has not prayed the prayer of salvation before, we will go ahead and pray the prayer of salvation, all of us, even if you have prayed it before. It's always good to renew and to remember that commitment to Jesus. And anyone that hasn't prayed the prayer of salvation, please pray it with us now. This is receiving Jesus into your life and making him your Lord and Savior. And this will make you right with God so that you can, with a clear conscience, receive the communion elements with us. And in the process of it, we're judging ourselves too to realize we need a Lord and Savior. We were all sinners, and we need our Jesus to save us. So repeat after me. This is the prayer of salvation. Father God, I know I need you in my life every day. I believe Jesus is the Son of God and came into this world and sacrificed himself so that I might be saved. Jesus, I receive you. Now, as my Lord and Savior, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit live in me and through me. Now I believe I am saved, born again, and a child of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now you are born again, and which is the same as being saved. Thank you, Lord. And now if you have questions about what that means, how to live your life, a new godly life, walking with God, please contact Pastor. His contact information will be in the notes at the underneath the in the notes, in the comments underneath the program there. And you can contact him by email, and our website is in there. He'll be glad to help you understand if you have any questions. He'll answer any of your questions. He'll send you the information that you need, programs that will help you understand. And he'd be so glad to do that for you. Just get a hold of us. Or even if you type in here, we'll get a hold of you. All right. And now what we're going to do now is read the communion verses. This is the process of the communion when Jesus had communion with the disciples the night before he was crucified. So this is the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes." Verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So judge yourself. And then we're reading about God's love. In 1 John 4:16, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. You're back.
Amen. Am I back?
You are back.
All right. That's cool. Let me just tuck in there. Back in time for communion. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how we do it. It's what we just said to you. So this is how we do it right here. I speak life into this frack site right here.
Amen.
I speak life into Halliburton. one of these men working on this site and every driver that will bring a load here. I speak life. Regardless of what the Biden administration wants to say against oil and industry, we speak life into it.
Amen.
And that life overcomes the ridiculousness of your death and destruction. We speak life, Lord. Life. Hey, this crack team function together properly. May Kraken get every well they got drilled. Crack and produce. Speak life.
We speak life.
Pastor, what if they're sinners? Well, I'm sure we can get some men and women of God though in the companies. We better bless these because everyone is going to make our gas price come down. Speak life. Don't ask God to damn them. That's just ridiculous. Speak life. And life more abundantly.
Life and life more abundantly.
No, everybody's like, man, he just said all of that right in the middle of communion. Well, remember what Jesus did. You are the light of the world. Shut up, you stupid Pharisees. Now, for those of you that are with us tonight, this is your first time with our communion experience. You know, like, this would be different than anything I've ever seen. But always remember this about God. How they received communion in Belarus is not going to be how they received communion in Belize.
Amen.
And how they receive it in Singapore is probably not how they're going to receive it in China. There's not a right, there's not a wrong. There's people who have read the word, examined themselves, lifted up the cup and the bread, and received from God's abundant blessing in their life. And that's what we're doing tonight. So you ready? Pray the prayer of salvation with me. No matter who you are, the prayer of rededication. You may never have been born again in all your life. You may have heard people talk about this and wonder what in the world this is. Well, here's your chance. Pray this prayer with us. And in a matter of 2 minutes, you will be right with God if you mean it with all your heart.
We did.
Let me pray this.
We did pray the prayer of salvation, but we can do it again if you'd like.
Oh, you already did?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to get you to say it twice.
Yeah, that's all right. It doesn't hurt to say it again. We love it.
Well, all right. So welcome to the Kingdom of God. Are you welcome?
Mm-hmm. Told them your information to contact you will be in the notes. In the program. And we read the verses. We were just getting ready to bless our elements.
Somehow I got in mixed up in the wrong process, but it'll be all right.
Sorry.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's bless the elements. There we go.
Father, we bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
Time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
Right here, right now, in my body.
Right here, right now, in my body.
And every part of my body.
And every part of my life.
The
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Because you, God, live inside of me.
Because you, God, live inside of me.
Every joint supplies in my body.
Every joint supplies in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
And the body of Christ in our community.
In the body of Christ in our community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
All the way around the world to Julian and Vimala.
All the way around the world to Julian and Vimala.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. That your body was broken so we could have access to it. In Jesus' mighty name. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. You ready? Bring this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
Where I receive grace, mercy, and help.
Where I receive grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague must pass over my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague must pass over my life.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white. And I will always be
glorious church,
the glorious church
without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Let's receive Jesus' blood shed in our lives.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it. See it. Sing it. You can see it, right? Thank you, Jesus, for
the blood of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white.
Thank you, Jesus, it Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. You brought me from the darkness into glorious light. And the wonder-working power of the blood. We call the sons and daughters. We are ransomed by the Father of the blood.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus, for the
blood.
Thank you, Jesus, has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. You brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Well,
woo!
You may never have sang a song like that in that kind of manner, but it's all right. If we were all in church together, we'd all sing it together, so we just cut loose and sing. And if you don't think it sounds good, that's okay. Just plug your ears for a minute, and then we'll be done. You can come back and listen to it. Because we love to be together and sing and worship God. And
amen.
Well, Sister Phyllis, you got the closing verses?
Of course. One thing, okay. Jesus 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment, defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless, for the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And then Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Think about what he just said. He has made us kings and priests unto our God and Father. And, you know, when we realize and we get the revelation, I am a king and a priest to God, well, that doesn't mean go out and start making decrees and act like a king, because you got to be trained in how to reign. You got to use your authority in the right places and for the right purposes. And, but that understanding now lives on the inside of you, and it should cause great courage. And then you begin to learn, I've got the name of Jesus. That's one of my weapons. I got the word of God. That's another one of my weapons. But most of all, I have a relationship with my Father, and that's the greatest weapon that I could ever have, is a relationship with the Father who lives on the inside of me. And I humbly and willingly submit to his leadership and his guidance don't worry about it. Jesus, help me.
We want to laugh with you.
Oh, my goodness. I sealed up tonight. And one of the ladies from behind the counter was standing there staring at the ground like there was a huge rat or something standing there, you know. And I'm like, what the world are you looking at? You're like, can't you see it? I'm like, see what? And the littlest, tiniest spider you ever saw in your life was down there on the floor. And the other girl from behind the counter comes around and one big saw bit was gone. I'm like, what are you so worried about? And she's like, well, when I was a kid, we had a brown recluse or whatever one of those things are that was in the cupboard in the kitchen. And the one sister said to the other, well, go in there and kill it. They're like, I ain't touching that thing. You know, it's huge. And she said, so my dad caught it, put it in a jar, and sealed the lid so that it would suffocate and die. Because, you know, I don't think it's really poisonous. So that happened about an hour and a half ago, and I just felt the hair crawling around on my ear, so I jumped really big.
That's too funny. Was it getting you?
No. No, it didn't have a chance. It did. I got spider guts all through my hair, but I think it was just the hair. Hopefully, you don't see as much as I was.
Oh, that's too funny.
Well, we got one more thing to do. Close your arms out in the big circle.
Draw the net.
Of every person who hears us on this video.
Of every person who hears us on this video.
May they have a heart of understanding.
May they have a heart of understanding.
Of all the things of God.
Of all the things of God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Hold your hands up to heaven and say, Father, I receive the hundredfold.
Father, I receive the hundredfold.
That you promised belongs to me.
That you promised belongs to me.
Because I helped you preach the word tonight.
Because I helped you preach the word tonight.
So we can preach the gospel around the world.
So we can preach the gospel around the world.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right. Anybody got anything you want to say again about tonight's subject?
I pray that God will protect the people in Poland.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, now somebody, can you give me an update? Has NATO declared war or anything yet?
I only know what you told us.
I don't have any more information on that. I haven't watched the news report since I woke up, so I'll check my emails and stuff. And by tomorrow morning at our morning prayer time, at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, we'll have an update, and we'll be praying our prayers again like we pray every day for God's blessing on this great nation and our brothers and sisters around the world. It's serious to them because it's cold over there in Europe now, and Russia has taken out most of the power stations so that there's no power in these places where they're bombing, and it's going to be cold. And the new general that put in, he don't care. He just like, why did I kill all my men? Fighting that battle, and all they got to do is take out their power and their food, and they'll all surrender. And may that wicked man receive the same thing.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In your judgment, Lord, have mercy. But pour out your judgment on the workers of iniquity. Bring your recompense and your just reward as you promised that you would. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, all right. Brother Dan, you got an update on NATO or anything? You know us?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Important news video that is from a reliable source. I don't believe anything. thing of CNN, MSNBC, and the liberal, wicked, vile, perverse people who tell me that I should let my child have sex change without me knowing. I don't listen to a word they say, but if you see other information that comes across that's from an organization besides them, they're always too welcome to send it to me, because every piece of information that we can have always helps us. If you don't know of any good news organizations besides those, I encourage you, Fox is more conservative leaning than the rest of them. And then, of course, The Blaze with Brother Glenn Beck, and the Breitbart, B-R-E-I-T-B-A-R-T, Breitbart organization, is another very good news organization that's going to give you a good understanding of what's actually happening. And, you know, it should seem to go without saying, but if not, I'll just say it. I quit trusting people who tell you that your kids should have a change and not tell their parents. Anybody that makes that kind of a news report, you should never listen to another foul word out of their foul mouths in every day.
Amen.
Because anybody that believes that, they're not going to tell you anything that's right. Like President Trump said when he announced running as president, I can't believe that I even got to be standing up here and saying the words that we've got to be fighting for parental rights of their children. That's quite a statement.
Mm-hmm.
That in the United States of America, we actually have to even make that kind of statement. But anyways, I encourage you to be strong in the Lord, the Father's might. And know this, I'm praying for deep sleep all upon you this evening while you slumber and sleep. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. We'll see you soon. Good night, Michelle. Love you.
God bless your sleep, everyone. See you tomorrow.